This week on Wharton Moneyball, Cade and I interview C.J. Handren of Diamond Kinetics, which is an interesting company that sells technology-laden baseball bats to professionals, to amateurs, and everything in between for maximum performance. Tune in for an incredible, interesting conversation.
From the campus of the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School, this is Wharton Moneyball on Business Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to Wharton Moneyball here on Business Radio, Sirius XM. This is Cade Massey hosting this week with my longtime collaborator, good friend, Wharton colleague, Audie Weiner. The other boys are out and about. Shane and Eric out and about. In fact, they're going to be out and about. Shane, for a while. You're about to go away, Odd. We're going to be patching it together as we usually do. Some combination of us are here almost every week of the year. Have been for 10 years plus now. We are recording this on a Tuesday afternoon, delightfully in studio, looking out onto, you know, it's not quite peak Locust Walk, but it's close to peak Locust Walk.
It's nice, and it's in the 70s today, and it's getting green.
It's a good time. There aren't that many great times to be in the Northeast in March and April, but this is one of those. We have C.J. Handren here. C.J. is co-founder of an outfit called Diamond Kinetics, doing terrifically interesting work in sports analytics, sports technology. We had CJ many years ago, actually, first half of our show, 2018, CJ was on talking about what these guys were doing. We loved them then, and they're just doing more interesting stuff now. So we're going to get into that. It's all about, especially baseball these days, but sports technology. And we're so often talking about what the pros are doing. It's fun sometimes to talk about what the recreational users can do, are doing, and technology is moving out that way. CJ is the perfect person to talk with about it. CJ, thanks for making time for us, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys.
So
excited to be here.
Well, we love what you did the first time we talked to you, and we love hearing, you know, a few years later what's going on. So we're looking at your feed. You're beaming in from Pittsburgh, I believe. You've got a wall full of bats. Audie is drooling as he's looking at the beautiful bats behind you. So give us some sense. We're going to hear more about Diamond Kinetics, what you started at, what you're doing now. You've got a couple of recent announcements that are really interesting. But give us a sense of why have you picked those bats to have on your Zoom background, your wall.
Yeah. Well, guys, you know, this probably – I'm thinking back to when we talked last, and we were probably just in the – beginnings of, at that point, trying to figure out how do we put our sensor technology into wood bats. And we'll talk about how that's expanded into now, you know, aluminum and composite bats for youth players. But all the bats behind me and another 20 or so on the walls around our office are all bat manufacturers that our sensors can twist and lock right in the knob of the bat. So actually each of these bats has a little hole in the bottom and a receiver. And it really was the beginning of, you know, kind of the convergence of technology and the equipment itself as it relates to baseball and softball. So they're all memorable for different reasons for us.
Remind us what the sensor in the bats are able to do for the user.
Yeah, so wireless Bluetooth-enabled sensor that in real time can track all the positional, angular, and velocity, you know, data for motion. And in our case, we're obviously tracking with bat sensors the swing. And so we process that in near real time, and then, you know, we can utilize that data in a variety of different ways. And you talked about in the lead in here, you know, how things are certainly being adopted at the professional level and how that's starting to make its way downstream. I think that's one of the interesting things that we're spending a lot of our time and energy on is, you know, the use of data is very different for different types of users. And so use cases and environments that are applicable for a major league player or hitting coach or college program, it's obviously very different than, you know, how a 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old would use and engage with data.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask a question because even though I'm 57, I'm still about 12 in my heart. And I obsessed more than anything in life. Baseball was all I thought about when I was that age. And I would have died to have a bat like that. There was no technology, obviously. So what would a 12-year-old or a 14-year-old or a 15-year-old with a bat like that do with it? And how would they use it to get better? Which obviously would be the whole point.
Yeah. So, you know, I felt the same way. I wish when I was a diehard kid playing growing up, and now I coach my my son's team of 11-year-olds who are all kind of right in that wheelhouse. You know, at the end of the day, I think the data helps us in a few different ways. As a younger player, I think we're trying to understand consistency around the swing. Where are the areas that we can control in how we learn things? So bat path, you know, how consistent and repeatable we can make the swing and make a motion. But I think just serving data is challenging. I can't just give my 11-year-old a wall of data and say, you know, here you go. We've got to really, you know, improve your attack angle. And so the approach that we've taken there is very much integrating that with instruction, with games, with, you know, activities that are fun and interesting, but that you're learning along the way. So we do that in a very interactive experience for kids. It's very different than a coach.
Well, give us an example of that, because, you know, Adi and I would be fired up if you just gave us a statistical distribution of our swings, but most 11-year-olds wouldn't. So how do you gamify that, conveying that information in a way that helps them practice?
Yeah, I'll give you two examples of games that are in our app right now. So we have an attack angle game, but instead of just taking swings and showing you what your attack angle is. So attack angle means if you were swinging kind of up at the ball at impact, that's a positive attack angle. Zero would be perfectly flat, and you know, negative would be a downward path of your bat. And you generally want that on an upward track as you're coming through impact. So we gamified that. And as you take swings, the more swings that you get in the 0 to 10 positive range, the more XP and points you earn in the game, the more difficult the challenge gets to move into tighter bands to try to work on consistency of bat path. And so the game is actually driving how you change the motion and the movement to try to feel what a positive kind of attack angle or an upward swing looks like. Another one is called Barrel Speed Climber, where we just ask you swing over swing. Can you swing it just a little harder, a little harder, a little harder? And so you're learning how to warm up. You're learning how to swing with max effort, but you're playing a game at that point. You're not really thinking about those skills. So we're kind of head faking you a little bit.
It's amazing, because this is the feedback that allows you to get better. And it's just amazing. We never had any of this crap, right?
It's not even just the feedback. It's the timing of the feedback. I mean, presumably you learn immediately. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you try something, a little more torque, or you position yourself a little bit differently, and you get feedback instantly on whether that translated into the dimension you wanted it to.
Right. It's also like the answer to the progress that the pitchers have made, with the instant feedback coming from the radar detectors that show you their velocities and their spins. Right. Now the batters can get instant feedback on how they're hitting. So,
and of course, we're talking about the democratization of that, because in a bat.
That's right.
11-year-old can lug to practice and start swinging. It's just unbelievable. But Chad, CJ, tell us more about the gamification. And I mean, this is dropping really down into the concrete details, but for like really honing these things. I mean, one, the way you describe those games, I would want to play that game right now with Audie. I would compete with Audie.
You bet.
On can we hit I can hit that 10 degree range better and more frequently than you can. And then I love this idea that you say, you start out with giving them 10 degrees and you're like, okay, now pull it down into 5 degrees. And that's just, are you giving them, how are you telling them? Or are they getting like a, you can imagine even like an earbud with a ting, or the noise tells them how close they are, anything like that.
Also, is it soft toss or tee, or are you just swinging in the air?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Okay.
So the sensor doesn't care. I think we know we see a lot of use off a tee in a backyard or in a garage. You know, it's a little bit of everything in terms of how you get that feedback. So, you know, we've designed this to be highly visual and audio. So there's elements of both, very video game centric or game centric, right? So in those real time swing environments in a game setting, we're not trying to hit you with too much information. We just want you to know, were you successful at it? Did you earn your way, you know, to whatever the next level or the next thing is that you're trying to accomplish? And then after the fact, we'll give you a little bit more detailed feedback on, you know, what you could do to do better the next time around. We also integrate that in with coaching and instruction. So if you want to have some coaching feedback, we have about 200 different, we call them guided sessions. So they're data-driven instructional sessions in the app delivered. You know, we just just today launched the Spencer Steer MLB featured player content. So we have big leaguers, we have various different coaches in our app that actually are giving you drills and things that you can work on in an integrated way. So we don't just leave you at the end of the game, so I hope you figure it out next time. You've got some opportunities where we breadcrumb you over to places that you can learn and get some instruction. And so you talk about kind of the democratization of all this. That's one of our biggest goals here, is that technology provides an opportunity to bring information at scale. And so if you don't have the ability to access a coach or a private instructor, or you want the opportunity to work on those things in between practices or on your own, we have all those tools kind of at your fingertips. And when you think about a generation of kids who have kind of grown up, in a mobile environment and a digital environment, they gravitate to it. They kind of expect it.
Yep. Yep. A couple of follow-up questions. One, you mentioned, you can obviously get the readings no matter what the kid or person is swinging at, whether it's, a tire or an in-game pitch. What do you see in terms of, in fact, I just had a question from someone about this. Do we know much about people who don't do as well in game versus practice? So y'all must have enough data now to say, practice swings are one thing, but then some presumably degrade when they're swinging at real pitches. How would you characterize that difference from what you guys have seen in the data?
Yeah, I think we're just getting to the beginning of being able to understand that. One of the things that's evolved is in the smart bat set that we just launched for amateur players are all now game approved. But that was right. Something that we all kind of as an industry had to work on. So I think for the first time, we're really going to get the opportunity to start to see those differences.
Let me jump in real quickly and just underscore what you said. You guys have just launched with Jack Marucci, a brand of bat that has this sensor, but has been approved by all the authorities for actual in-game use, which is a real evolution. And as you said, y'all started with wooden bats, and now we're down with the aluminum bats that the kids play with. That was a big hurdle to get over, and now you've got it. But that's only been since like late year. Your announcement on that was like late 23.
Just a couple months ago.
Okay. So that's the setup. How would you characterize what you know or what you think you're going to see in differences in practice swings versus real swings?
Yeah, and we will easily be able to see and understand if the mechanics change. Those are the things that we have visibility to. So we can see if you have a different bat path when you have a game swing. We can look at consistency, game swings versus practice swings. We obviously can't. We don't understand every dynamic. And so, if you have timing challenges, that's not something that a bat sensor recognizes. Although we will know if you tend to be late on most pitches. If you're a younger player who's struggling to pick up a curveball, that's not something that your bat sensor is going to tell us in a game swing. But there's a lot that we think we'll be able to see.
CJ, on this was my other question. When we decompose batting performance, what role do we think is finding the ball versus swinging appropriately? So you're really focused on the swing here, which is utterly understandable and has to be really important. But there are these other components, like you mentioned timing, but also just like where you put that barrel according to where the ball is. That seems like a really important element. Do we know anything about the relationship between those things or the relative importance in batting between those things?
I think there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time thinking about that. I think it's still fairly subjective in terms of relative importance or the mix. I think everybody will nod their head pretty clearly that the mechanics – the muscle memory, the ability to make the motion as best you possibly can is an important part. Timing is undoubtedly an important part. Hand-eye coordination is an important part of it. And relative mix, I'm not sure, but there's a recipe there, and you kind of have to have all those ingredients. Mm-hmm. We spend more time, obviously, focused on the mechanical side of things.
A question that has been bothering me. So when I was a kid, it was swing flat or even swing down, and now it's swing up. I think I'm catching it pretty much right. What made that change?
Runs, baby.
But even in the little leagues and in the high schools, where you would imagine that contact is and timing has got to drive is such more important because that's what they're struggling still to do. Is there a balance between the two, or is the up plane just the right? I mean, because that's the ball's going down. So if the ball's going down, you probably want the bat to be going up so they can strike each other on the same plane. But so were we just wrong? Was my coach in high school just an idiot? I mean, what? Explain that to me.
No, we run into this a lot, and you know, I think that generally matching bat path and ball plane is an accepted view. I think there's extremes, and so when you have, you know, I'll call it sort of extreme attack angle, extreme launch angle, and you see some of that making its way down into the youth game, that's probably too far in that direction. I think that a lot of this started by trying to optimize the ball flight outcome and the on-field outcome. So a lot of this was really being able to start, you know, at the professional level, being able to dig into ball flight data and understand, you know, working backwards from that, what do I need to do to try to create the most opportunity for, you know, positive impacts, extra base hits, hard hit balls that created bigger on-field in-game outcomes. I think you have to be careful with how that translates all the way down to the youth game. Professional player as a full grown adult is different than a developing 9-year-old. And so what you're physically able to do doesn't mean just because so-and-so does it as a big leaguer means that you can create and do that same thing because you don't have the same physical capabilities at that point. But I do think that, you know, data has helped arrive at some places of consistency in terms of generally what we want to teach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, this is not the only thing you guys are doing. In fact, one of the most recent announcements you've made is the acquisition of a video technology. Can you tell us what you're planning, what these guys do and how you're going to use that side of the business?
Yeah, we're really excited. We just a month or so ago announced the acquisition of a video platform, video streaming and highlight platform called Sideline HD. And Sideline HD is focused on being able to live stream youth games, primarily baseball and softball, but really across a number of other sports as well, and automatically clip and create the highlights from that game. And so think about, you know, a youth 12-year-old game that, you know, we all played in, simple as clipping your phone to the fence. You can live stream that so those who aren't there can watch it. But probably most interesting for us is, you know, the availability and the ability to use in-game context. So if we have video of your swings, if we know what your on-game and on-field performance is, we can connect that together better with instructional data, with sensor data, with the things that we know about, the things that we're good at timing kinetics. And so we're really interested in the connectivity between game content, video and statistics, and overall athlete development and the loops that you can create there for athletes and for families. We think that there's a lot of exciting things to do with video going forward.
Okay. So CJ, it sounds great. Of course, if you can capture and connect all of those things. A few years ago, I think I would have been deeply skeptical that, you know, strapping an iPhone on the dugout fence post would give you material that you could convert efficiently at scale to all the things you just named. Have we come along that far? Is computer vision good enough, and computer vision maybe mapped with other technologies? God knows what AI can do these days. Have we come so far that you're going to be able to literally just throw the iPhone up there and process the data a little bit later and come out with some stats and suggested coaching platforms, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, we're a lot of the way there. The front end of that is the ability to capture the content. So the introduction of 5G and enhanced networks and processing capabilities of devices and in the cloud, you know, was a step one. I think that where this is going is, you know, both AI, computer vision, and other sort of advancements in technologies are going to be able to allow you to do more with that content. And I think that's what we're really excited about. So is it a world now where you just set your phone up and computer vision is tracking the whole game and scoring it? No. And you know, there's a lot of challenges to get all the way there. But will technology continue to get more portable, more accessible, and do more of that? Yeah, and it's happening really fast. Because to your point, you know, roll back to last time that we talked, the idea of doing that was didn't feel close at all. And now mm-hmm. there are across, you know, our platform and many others, there's hundreds of thousands of games being streamed, you know, a year. And so, they're being done largely through mobile devices.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see the market for that? Where's the richest market for that? The number of players, of course, accelerates as you move down earlier and earlier, but maybe the importance of capturing the data isn't as strong. So where's the sweet spot in terms of high volume, but also valuable insights?
Yeah, what I think is most interesting about video is that, like, there's so many different use cases. And so, you know, streaming a video and having highlight clips is creating memories, and there's fun things that you can do with that that aren't about performance at that point.
Okay.
It's something that as a parent I'm interested in, that my you know, my parents don't live, you know, close to me and can't watch my kids' games. So the ability for them to be able to do that is unique. And so I think the value is in different pockets here. I think from a performance perspective, it starts even at the youngest level, you know, the hard game. And so if I can help, I was out with a bunch of 11-year-olds last night. If I can help any of them get, you know, one or two more successful on-field outcomes, and, mm-hmm. and video can help me do that alongside the things we do in DK app, then I think that's a win.
Mm-hmm. How do you characterize the amateur market at the adult level? Because now you're talking about diehard, you know, people who are playing in their 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever. Those are diehard players. They might be geeked out on numbers in some way, and they can, you know, some of them are playing at a reasonably high level.
Well, they play softball incredibly seriously.
Yeah,
that might be something you're thinking about.
This is what I'm saying.
I've been to a softball game, men's, you know, amateur game, where people come with equipment.
Oh, of course. And they're not all serious, but some of them are very serious. and is that one of your markets, CJ, and what are you seeing happening there?
It's not one that we have overtly placed a lot of energy towards. I would agree. There's a lot, especially in softball. There's a lot of activity, and at the high ends of that, there's some very, very, very competitive adult league softball. But we haven't done a lot there. I know we have people that utilize our products in those environments. It's a little trickier one to put a business plan around and a go-to-market plan. So
right.
We've been focused much more on kind of organized amateur kind of sub NCAA markets. But there's no doubt that there's a lot of activity there.
Okay. CJ, before we let you go, what's next for you guys? Are you just in the process of integrating these new firms? These are major acquisitions. Where are you organizationally? What are you thinking about on a daily basis right now?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're very focused on the exciting things that we can do in the combination of Diamond Kinetics, our technology, our platform, and the Sideline HD platform. And so I think that'll be our primary focus. But, you know, if I step back from all of this and think about the next couple of years, you know, the analogy I'd use here is that we're kind of moving into the middle innings, if you will. If the early innings was when we talked back in, you know, 2018, it was really about kind of data capture. Can you get this data?
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we're in a place where it's the application of data. It's how people get value from it. It's the consolidation of how these kind of point-to-point solutions start to fit together in more thoughtful ways so that the end users of those, you know, have to work less. You know, why do we put sensors in a bat? Part of it is it's just you don't have to think about it. It's just
right.
There. It kind of works magically for
right.
you. It's always on. And so I think we will continue to try to put some of the technology in the background, have it work for you, have it be more personalized, and you know, try to connect some pieces together that give you a more valuable experience and just a simpler, easier experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We you know, that's a theme across the world of sports analytics. We've got so much capability now, but you've still got that last mile of getting it to the decision maker in some form that is readily accessible, digestible, usable, and, you know, simplification is like a big challenge. We got so many dimensions and so many data points now and all these different corners of sports. How do you get it down into something usable? I just love this idea, CJ, that you've got like this sound telling you whether the swing was right or not. And that takes it back to exactly how we actually experience the, hitting a ball. Like, you know from the sound of the ball how you hit it. Yep. Same with golf. You know from the way it feels. And so if you can provide the feedback that you're capturing digitally, the very precise feedback, you know, whatever the goal is, you can tell them by sound. It's just, it's making, it drives the learning down into a deeper level, I'm guessing, and makes it much more intuitive.
Yeah, I think you summed that up perfectly. And I think that last mile is different for each type of user. And I think that's what we're learning, right? It's a different last mile for a college program, for example, than it is for a family with a 10-year-old or 11-year-old that's playing different sports. And so figuring out that last mile for the audiences that you're spending the most time with is the most important thing.
Well, listen, man, when you want to start getting data on the last mile for the middle-aged softball playing crowd, especially nerd heads, you know, send it about this way. We'll see if we can find some people to give you some feedback on that.
And if you want to design an experiment to see how well your product can increase velocity or something, we can help that too. I'll be a willing participant.
Just across the state, man. You can drive over, CJ.
That's awesome.
Bring some equipment. Drive on over. We'll buy you a beer afterwards. All right, listen, we'll let you go. CJ, thanks for making time for us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Of course. CJ Handren, co-founder and CEO of Diamond Kinetics. We've talked with them before, but it's been a while. Pre-COVID, we divide, as many people do, we divide our time around here. Pre-COVID, post-COVID. That first conversation was pre-COVID. Glad to catch up with those guys. CJ Handren. All right, guys. That has been another week here on Wharton Moneyball for Audie Weiner, my co-host the entire afternoon. This has been Cade Massey for Maddie Datz, the boss man. Dion Simpkins, the associate boss man, right here in the studio with us, unlike Maddie, let me say. And thank you to you guys for listening. Appreciate your being with us. Come back and join us next time. Until then, enjoy your sports.